Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 3rd of July, recording at 9:17 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, quick look at this day here, and it's been a nervous one, generally, for stock markets. Asian markets were mostly down, so it's probably easier for me to pick up the ones that didn't, which would be the Philippines. The Shenzhen composite in China was up a fraction, but actually the broad China indices were mostly to the downside. Japan, mixed, topics a fraction higher. Also the JASDAQ, Nikkei 225 down. We had some big hits in, well, moderately big hits in Asia. Australia, 1.86%. India Sensex, nearly 1.5%. The Thai market, 1.39%. Indonesia, big 3.2% to the downside, whereas the gains were marginal. In Europe, we had a soft tone generally, although markets closed off the lows because Wall Street was starting to pick up as Europe was coming to the end of its trading. For instance, the SX7E, that's that European banks index, it had been hovering above that psychological and fairly lengthy support area of 100. And it broke through it this morning quite sharply, but then recovered to close back above it. But nonetheless, though, the European markets are clear underperformers overall. And the Asian markets have seen some of the bigger breaches in their overall uptrends, going right back to 2009, when the bull trend to the upside started. So that's represents some technical deterioration that's certainly not going to be overcome very quickly. In the Americas, somewhat different action here. Wall Street, once again, a lot of investors have retreated to the United States because of the strong dollar and because of the competitive economic performance that it's putting in, at least among large developed economies. And also, I think in particular, because of its competitive energy advantage, the way that has been bringing more industrial business into the United States for more than a year. And also because of the resurgence in the USA's technological development, which has caught quite a few people by surprise. We know that the United States had has had a significant technology lead, but it seemed to be losing it a decade or so ago, or even in the last up until the last couple of years. But it's got a reborn look to it here overall. Now, so Wall Street closed with modest, quite modest gains, but it had been down fairly sharply along with other markets in earlier trading. The other American markets, Canada was down, Mexico was down, and Brazil down, but off the lows. Now, my feeling, as I've said in each of these broadcasts in recent weeks, is that we're in a different environment. It's likely to be very choppy. We had those big rallies peak in May, and the technical damage that's occurred suggests that those May highs are not going to be easily exceeded. We have been looking for a fairly lengthy ranging period now. Again, as quantitative easing is the merits and versus the cons are debated, And we've seen that rise in bond yields. So people are beginning to realize that we're not going to stay at these record low interest rates indefinitely. Now, my feeling is that the U.S. deserves the premium that it's actually seen in here, but it's still overextended relative to its rising 200-day moving average on the Standard & Poor's 500 index. So I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't pull back further over the next few weeks. And we have the commodity sector around the world, which has been under real pressure. So it's been way underperforming. And that looks like very much like a bear market environment overall. Now, not all the markets. Some of the developed markets are holding up better. Australia, Canada, but Brazil has been one serial underperformer in here overall. So you've got that weak global background generally, and we've had the rise in valuations and now the uncertainty. So that suggests to me, as I say, a fairly lengthy ranging period ahead of us. Now, the big story in here today, Morsi, I think that's how it's pronounced, the president of Egypt. He's been removed here by a military coup. I think he's still alive, but I have only been following what I've seen on some New York Times headlines and also Bloomberg in here today. But I was writing about this situation earlier in the day, and to use the media jargon, it was very much a breaking story overall, so I had to keep adding a little bit of extra information as it was actually coming through. And then about an hour and a half ago, I think it was announced that he'd actually been replaced. So what will that do? Well, the Egyptian problem was causing some traders and speculators to pile into the energy contracts, and in other words, buying the WTI, that's the U.S. oil contract, the West Texas Intermediate, and driving that up. And at one point today, it was up over 102.18, and that was a bit of an upside breakout. Now, right now, it's back down to 101.17, so it's a dollar below that level. We've had a similar action on the Brent, but most of the move was in the WTI, so I think it's been coming from, the buying has been coming from the United States here, and that was a sort of an opportunistic hedge, perhaps against any difficulties that would cause the Egyptian situation to seriously deteriorate beyond what we've already seen, and cause concerns about energy supplies, given the obvious proximity of the Suez Canal, which Egypt also controls. Well, I think that it remains to be seen what the final end result or longer-term result will be following this coup. My guess is that markets will actually be a little bit relieved that it has actually happened. It's taken some of the uncertainty away, and therefore I wouldn't be surprised if we saw oil prices slip back, particularly the WTI, in the near future. But it'll require some sort of clear downward dynamic to give a decisive signal overall. And what else is going on here today? The bond markets, a little bit easier. The U.S. dollar, which has been so strong recently, also has eased a bit in here today. Gold, quietly steady, 1253. That's the main story in the precious metal. Well, silver's up 45 cents, 1976. And we're down 21, though, on the platinum. So in terms of these precious metals, well, they're oversold. They're fairly cheap, but they still have those overall downward trends characterized by lower rally highs. And that's an unbroken progression. And until we break the sequence of lower rally highs with a recovery rally, that changes that technical perspective. This is still a market that's searching for its lows and has yet to establish sufficient support to sustain a recovery. The problem overhanging the market, as it's been all along, the buildup of shorter to medium term trend following positions in the exchange-traded funds, particularly in the U.S. There was an awful lot of money in there, as you know, and people have been coming out as those gains have been eroded, and there's no obvious immediate recipient to pick up all that gold in the short term, and so that's weighed on the markets in here. And I don't think that's going to change significantly in the near term, but I maintain that gold is has seen most, if not all, of its pullback that's likely to occur. And on that note, also, Wall Street closed early here tonight because of the 4th of July holiday here tomorrow. All the best.